Blog Talk Radio.
Entertainment Report. I am Beth, and of course you heard Mars Mills. His song Round and Round. Mars has been so busy. He's recently hired a new booking manager, and he's been appearing in a lot of places up in Illinois in the Midwest, and I have only been seeing good reviews, and I'm not surprised because my dear friend is so talented. But hopefully he will be able to spend some time with us to let us know directly exactly what's going on with new music that he is releasing and plus with his tour date. But regarding booking, if you network with him on Facebook and on Twitter and Reverb Nation, He will provide you with the information regarding his new booking manager because he's overwhelmed with the duties of booking his own gig. So just wanted to give you the heads up regarding Marvis Mills. I know he's doing a date presented by Harley Davidson. I think it will be on the 16th, but I'll provide you with his soon-to-be schedule, and he'll also, like I said, hopefully be a part of the one of the broadcasts in the near future. And if today is your birthday, happy birthday. Today is actor Hugh Laurie's birthday of House and D. He's 53. And I'm looking at, you know, AP's Associated Press history, you know, today what happened today in history. And I love reading the Dallas newsletter that I get because I just love this AP section regarding highlights of today. And Charles Rangel is 82 today. He's 2 years older than my mother. U.S. Congressman, Democrat of New York, is 82. Gene Wilder, actor, 79. I had a blast this Saturday. I just, you know, flipping the channels, you know how we do. And what was on the 1971 film, Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. And I felt so happy. I felt like crying happy tears. That was one of my favorite childhood films outside of The Wizard of Oz and The Wiz and a few other films. You know, another film I loved as a little girl, which it was not a movie for kids, Jane Fonda's Barbarella. When I was a little girl, I would watch that film over and over again, but I was just ecstatic to see Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. And also I loved Disney cartoons and Charlie Brown and His Friends and Winnie the Pooh. Just loved those cartoons. But I was just so happy to see Willy Wonka on the Family Channel. And then after that, I watched Nanny McPhee. That's a hilarious film. But happy, happy birthday, Gene Wilder. You are just, you were the favorite of mine then and you're a favorite of mine now. And Chad Everett, actor, is 75. Jackie Stewart, auto racer, is 73. Adrienne Barbeau, an actress, is 67. Frank Beard of ZZ Top is 63, excuse me. Peter Bergman, the actor, 59. Wow, of The Young and the Restless. Governor of South Dakota today is his birthday. Shout out to politician, Governor of South Dakota, Dennis Daugaard. Joe Montana is 56. Wow. I would have thought he was about 53. Peter Dinklage, actor, is 43. Joshua Jackson of Fringe. And Dawson's Creek is 34. Dana Taurasi, a basketball player, she's 30. Shia LaBeouf, he's only 26. And baseball player Jose Reyes, that's that right, he's 29 today. But also today in history, you know, it's Reagan history. On 11-2004, sadly, the 40th president of the United States was laid to rest in California following a state funeral in Washington, D.C., and is showing a picture of Mrs. Nancy Reagan kissing his flag-draped coffin. In 1509, England's King Henry, is that the fifth? Married Catherine of Aragon. 1942, the United States and the Soviet Union signed a Lend-Lease agreement to aid the Soviet war effort in World War II. In 63, this is some civil rights history, Governor George Wallace confronted federal troops at the University of Alabama in an effort to defy a federal court order to allow two black students to enroll at the school. Yeah. So, wow. So it's more news, so just check out the AP section of, maybe it's in your local papers anyway. It's not in the Clarion Ledger here. We do have, like, the celebrity birthdays and so on, but not this in-depth highlight in the day of history. And so I like this section of the Dallas newsletter. In 2002, rock musician Paul McCartney married Heather Mills. remote Irish castle, but they are divorced, and, you know, he's happily remarried now. And unbelievable, I was talking with this with my mother the other day, the singing competition, American Idol, debuted on Fox in 2002. Wow, I honestly, when American Idol first came on, I just couldn't believe, I was amazed by the talent, but I just could not believe the people who were auditioning to compete to become the American Idol. My mother used to watch it wholeheartedly the first season. I tuned in ever so much, but the ones that could not sing whatsoever, oh my God, that was a pet peeve of mine. Because I'm like, I meet talented people every day that can sing, that can blow any of these people out. You know, that's how I was looking at it. I was like, I meet people every day. I know Pete friends with hidden talents sound much better than the people who are competing on this show. So one of my friends, and I Big Mike, that dude that co-hosted with me before, when back in the early days of Put the Shock on the Table Report, so around this time last year, he and I was used to crack up, just like many of you, just like we still do, regarding those that sound horrific. But, you know, it amazes me because a lot of times people motivate those people, and that's what that always amazed me, too. I don't know, it just amazes me. But that's one secret to the show and why the show is so successful to this day, is how it gives and allows so many people from different backgrounds an opportunity to at least say, I want to compete, and to at least, I'm pulling up my switchboard. My switchboard had not been up. I was reading the Dallas Morning News from my netbook. I usually read it from my Touch T-Mobile Android, I'm on one Android. I'm broadcasting from one Android, and I usually like to look up my information on my MyTouch because it's like my little office in my palm. So you know I have to shout out T-Mobile because I love T-Mobile so much. But I'm in the switchboard now, and I see my cousin Linda is online. But American Idol just used to amaze me. Oh, and I do want to congratulate those that won Tony Awards last night. I did not watch the event. I intended to. But I was doing my best to attend my class with sparkpeople.com. Shout out to my coach, Coach Christie. You all know I share information on the show, and definitely those of you who have networked with me online on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, you always see information that I share, if it's a quote of the day or exercise of the day or workout songs of the day. But Sport People has this feature, Sport People Live, where it's an online class instructed by coaches. And so I had orientation Friday morning and attended my first class on Friday. We had another class scheduled for last night. And when the awards was on, I was doing my best to get into my class. But by the time I accomplished that, the class was almost over. So I have to attend another scheduled class. But Spark People is just good for people that want to live healthier and be just more on and on, be more informed regarding living healthier. And you can just want to maintain your health. You don't have to, because one thing they ask you, that you're asked when you join the website is if you're looking to gain weight or maintain your weight or if you want to lose weight like I. But it's all about it's a healthy living web community. That's what it's all about. So, and those of you that I share info, you see that. You see it's pretty much an informative site regarding healthy living. And so I'm right now in the chat room. And I know I said I would play Prince, but for some reason, those of you who listen to a lot of music and DJ and upload a lot of stuff, for some reason, when I pull up my main library, my print library does not come up. I think some of my songs, newly uploaded songs, aren't through uploading, so I need to complete the uploading session. Everything's a session. So the uploading session. So you will hear some awesome Prince music in the near future. And you know what? I'm going to start playing more covers. I know you all like the Little Red Corvette cover by Morris Mills, but there are some other bands and singers that do their rendition of Prince songs and proteges that are just amazing. And on my birthday, I plan on doing something because, you know, my birthday is going to be like a jam session type thing, my birthday celebration at Samira's in August, on August 11th to be exact. And then I'm looking forward to going to Dallas, also celebrating my birthday that next weekend, doing the Black Access Grand VIP networking weekend. But here at my celebration, I plan to be part of the jam session, of course. I've been a creative soul myself. And I plan to do an original poem and also free. I love free, and I can do free. And those of you who wonder, can she sing, you'll find out if I'm a complete fool myself or not. Because, you know, for years I've been working on my own musical project. So, you know, the thrill is gone out of the closet. So, and it's like a metaphor, you know. It's just like a metaphor regarding just me as a poet, as a songwriter, and just representing us. Just as a creative soul, a creative community. Just coming out the closet. For years I kept my vintage guitar in the closet. And even though I planned to get new guitars, my vintage guitar that was given to me by my late sister's husband, what I call a brother, Tommy Lee Ellis in Dallas, as a little girl, for a while I kept it in the closet. But I love guitars. I love guitars. I always wanted to play my guitar fluently, and so I still plan to. So I like that title because it's out of the thrill is gone out of the closet. Because I do also plan to do Thrill Is Gone, and I told BB that a long time ago when we first met. I told him that was the first song that when I was 1 year old. That's when my grandmother, my mother, found out that I could sing, but I have never aspired to be a singer. I've always loved performers and singers and aspired to promote and produce and expose the talents of those that I love and admire. That's something that I've always loved since I was a little girl because, like I said before, I have favorite hosts and producers, and we definitely need to do more profile shows. Yeah, I haven't done a profile show in a minute, and I know I owe you one regarding Lewis Howes. Need to do a profile show on Ryan Seacrest. Recently, the blogtalkradio.com community asked the question if who were our inspirations, asked the question to the host and the producers of our shows, and I named three people who were inspirations, which a lot of the list goes on and on. Tom Joyner, the Fly Jock, remember back in the day, the Tom Jordan Morning Show. Ryan Seacrest, you know, if you're thinking like Martin, like right now. And Ryan has been amazing to me when it comes to support and information. And the same with Carson Daly. Carson Daly is just so much fun to network with. And so I know where are the ladies, but those are the guys that really inspire me. But the list goes on and on from Tony Brown, Tony Brown's Journal. Shout out to you, Tony, wherever you are. You know, this has been the longest I haven't been in contact with Tony since his show discontinued on PBS. I miss his show so badly. And let's see, of course, I love Dick Clark, Wolfman Jack. Locally, Lee King and Jesse Thompson, Lee King Productions, Jesse Thompson, the spearhead behind the Jesse Music Awards. They've always been an inspiration of mine here locally in the Jackson community. Just amazing. And their promoters, producers. And Lee King, he used to host a show that was very popular called Black Gold that aired on Saturday mornings on NBC. And on ABC, American Bandstand would come on. So Saturday's always a blast for me, waking up, watching cartoons and you know, cleaning house or just having fun, preparing to go places. But, you know, you if you went somewhere in the morning, you sure will be back in time to watch Black Gold, American Bandstand, and then leave out again, because those are shows that I did not want to miss. And when I was a little girl, my older sister was around, and we were living in Georgetown, and here at the residence where I'm at now, we did not miss those shows. And I was so sad when American Bandstand was canceled. And this is not my intention to talk about these shows, but that's why we're on it. And so the Tony Awards was last night, and so we have the Daytime Emmys coming up on HLN on June 23rd. So that should be really interesting, the Daytime Emmys. The Daytime Emmys are just as exciting to me as the Emmys, you know, really. But, you know, we're supposed to be talking about Walk Off the Weight. So last week when we were talking about it, I want to shout out my dear friend, my Block Talk Radio cohort, who's also based in Dallas. I know, what is this that I have going on with Dallas? I love Dallas so much. He's the host of the Core Business Show, presented by the Apple Capital Group. And, you know, last week, I don't know if you all caught it. I caught the show. I caught a little bit of the last live broadcast, and then something happened. So I had to listen to the repeat, like, right after. And that was a beep. So I hope my phone does not go dead. His show is about Obamacare and looking at it from different angles. Very amazing. Last week was from a religious angle, and I'm not quite sure what the angle is today. Might be from like a private business sector angle, but his shows air, well, he's from 11 to 1 or 12 to 1. So just check out Tim with the Business Core Show. And, you know, the end of the month would be Grant Week. And I don't think any of us would want to miss Grant Week, because it's pertaining to private business for profit, and also non-profit businesses. And I know I definitely don't want to miss it, and I know a lot of listeners of the show do not want to miss it also. And we will do more shows like we did last year and earlier this year regarding business talks, job interviews, and resume talking. My cousin Linda and I was talking the other day about how important it is to follow up. Once you've been on an interview, it's good to follow up. You know, if you haven't heard anything, especially if you haven't heard any kind of news, bad or good, sometimes it's just good to say, hey, just thank you so much. Cousin Linda and I was talking about how good it is to, I mentioned about following up for a job interview I had had in the last month and a half. And, you know, she reminded me, what did you send a card? And that's something I love to do and always do. But I was like, no, but I definitely would do that. You know, I was thinking about making up a follow-up phone call. And I am one, those of you that know me know I love to send cards. And so I definitely will follow up. So this is some information that I'm sharing with you all. And Cousin Linda is a customer. Yes, she's a worldwide traveler, but she is a customer services expert, and you all know we love to talk about that here. And Cousin Linda can share a lot of advice regarding both sides of customer service. And you know I love to talk about customer service from the fashion retail perspective. And this is just, you know, this is just good stuff to talk about and important to talk about too, because regardless of what industry you're in, we're all consumers, and it's important to know the etiquette of customer service, and also when you're doing business with others, if it's you working for yourself or if you're seeking employment, it's good for us to know the proper etiquette to job interviews and follow-ups, and also in preparation for interviews once we've been contacted that we've been selected for an interview. So a lot of that is just so important. And it's easy for many of us, regardless of our background, to say, oh, I know all that. You know, but in all honesty, we're never complete learning professional development. Personal development is important, but professional development is just as important, you know, because that most of the time deals with our money and our finances and how much money we can make, getting, if it's working for ourselves or snagging that job, you know, really. So we're going to definitely talk about more about that, and I just can't wait for the panel that we will have in the near future regarding, I'm talking about dealing with culture shock and attainment reports, but, you know, Tim and I, we're planning a panel, too. We're partnering our shows, and we'll be producing panel discussions on both shows, on Culture Shock Entertainment Reports and on the Court Business Show, topics that interest us, and also we're accepting feedback from our listeners of both shows and incorporating that, too, because it's important to know what you want to talk about and questions that you have. It's important for you to call us during those panels and interact with us within the chat rooms also. But what I'm talking about, I'm really excited about, is when talk about America and the economy and America and this election year. And coming at it from our different perspectives, but number one, we are human and we are the people first, regardless of our political affiliations or our point of view. We are human and we are the people, and it's important for us to know what's going on and to be vocal in a civil manner regarding how we would like to see our country improve. And that's regardless of who we see sworn in as president in January 2013. If the president is reelected, we want to see improvement. If a new president is elected, we want to see improvement. I know many of you agree with me on that. You know, that is so important. We need improvement on most levels, most levels. And if the economy is not good, then how can others be good? And there was a report a couple weeks ago released, and I first heard it on Huckabee, then I heard it on national press, and that's regarding the number of millionaires in this country has dropped. So if the number of millionaires have dropped, then what does that mean for the average American? Does an average American, does that mean the average American, our finances and our worth have dropped also? So that's kind of scary, because America is supposed to be the place where your dreams come true. Everybody's dream is not to become a millionaire, but most of us want to live comfortable lifestyles where we can do things that we need to do and plus do some things leisurely too, things that we want to do. So that's kind of scary to hear that America has been declining in millionaires, and other countries have been booming in producing millionaires. And my 80-year-old mother said, well, it's probably because a lot of American companies outsource, and so they're making millionaires in other countries. And that's a good point. I'm like, Mom, that's a good point. You know, so it's important for us to keep work here and support entrepreneurs and keep corporations and businesses here in America. But I'm supposed to be reviewing Walk Off the Weight. We have 90 seconds left of live streaming, and hopefully we can go on maybe a little bit longer. But I hope you all have ordered your books, Walk Off the Weight. I told my coach with Spark People about this book, and she's checking it out. My coach has lost 118 pounds since 2010. She is amazing. Her story is just amazing, and she's so encouraging. I mean, you know, just amazing. But mainly, I'm looking at the week one of the book in the journal, and it just this discusses the basic workout at glance, and the workout summary, and the basic interval walking, and the toning, and the long walk. And like I told you before, there's a workout log, and there's a food log, and also, with your book and with your journal, which is written by fitness director Michelle Stanton, comes a exercise band. So it's just amazing, because it is good to document our eating habits. It's good to keep journals also, which I have not been writing in my – I'm always writing – me, I'm always documenting my life. I have not been writing in my journal the way I should. because I'm always writing some other things and focused on my other projects, but and always documenting my life in some form or fashion. But I need to resume writing in my just regular journal. But I would definitely stay committed to documenting in this walk off weight journal also. But it's almost time for the live streaming to stop. I don't know if Cousin Linda has anything to say because the live stream has stopped, but hopefully we have about 10 minutes. Recently, the show has been ending like maybe 5 minutes past time, and we have maybe about 9 more minutes left. You know, that happened with Cousin Linda now one day, and it happened last Wednesday. But Friday, when Rich Ruff, Nick, and I were talking sports, we talked our entire 45 minutes. And maybe a couple others. But congratulations also to Union Rags, who won the Belmont Stakes on Saturday. And did you all see? I have another looking so cute, pressed around with her prancing around with the owner, and prancing around with the owner, and. You know, interacting with the crowd, just amazing. I'm glad that I have another could interact with the audience and so on and spectators. That was just great. But I'm happy for Union Rags, and that's an amazing story regarding Union Rags. Owner has sold Union Rags and then rebought Union Rags back. You know, I love that feature about Union Rags back doing the Kentucky Derby's broadcast a couple weeks ago. And those of you, did you all see the Ryan Seacrest interview with Michael Phelps? I mean, that was a good interview regarding the Olympics, which will be, you know, everybody know, held in London. And so I'm excited for that. And Ryan Seacrest is going to be a major part of that because, you know, he's a part of the NBC family also now. And I'm still wondering who's going to get that gig with Kelly. You know, one way I was told that Ryan's going to get that gig, but I would love to see Mark Consuelos becoming the host. But he's always mother brought to my attention. Well, doesn't Mark work a lot also? But I just, you know, I think that would be a good gig for him if he could fit in his schedule. And, you know, they love to be together, 24/7, you know. But, I guess I prepare to conclude. I feel like I have more to say. I just will remind you about the future shows. Tomorrow will be, as in London, I discussing travel again. And I know many of you enjoyed last Tuesday's broadcast. And Cousin London shared so many marvelous tips regarding preparation. You know, having a checklist and preparing for Murphy's Law. You know, anything can happen, will happen. You know, mindset, have fun, but always have it in the back of your head that you should be prepared. And so that was a really great show. I had a blast. And I know many of you have re-listened to the show and definitely took your notes. So Tuesday we're going to talk more domestic and international travel, summer deals and a lot of information that we've both been provided for. I need to personally resume traveling because Linda is planning a Paris trip, which not many of you know, in the fall. And from feedback, it seems like my Parisian friends pray that I come with her because I've been getting so much information from my UK friends and my Parisian friends. So it's not in my budget right now, but I don't know. A miracle might happen because Cousin Linda told me, hey, get your passport and you feel free to come with me whenever I travel. So, you know, we'll see, my friends. But I don't see it, but it would be a blessing if that could happen. But we're going to talk, you know, of summer travel. And the 4th of July is coming up, and I know many of you either are doing things at home or traveling or going to beaches or whatever. So we're going to continue talking about things in that nature regarding the best deals. And because it's good to be frugal so you can splurge in areas that you want to splurge in, right? So it's good to be frugal where you need to be frugal. So that's one thing that Cousin Linda and I talk about and share with each other regarding legitimate websites that you can get information from. And websites that we like are like the one-stop shop websites, too, that provide you with information regarding hotels and restaurant deals and rental car rentals and just the accessibility to places that if you're traveling alone or just with a small group or with family, it's important to know the location of your hotels and know what's nearby also. So we appreciate it if you would call also and share some of your favorite travel tips also and places that you like to travel. Last week I shared online on Twitter and Facebook like the best, like different beaches and most economical places to travel, the top U.S. travel spots and places like that. And I will talk about beautiful places here in the Deep South also here in Mississippi. And we're, of course, because Linda been in Texas, talk about places in Texas. We're trying to squeeze stuff in 45 minutes. But when we don't get to certain topics, don't fret. But it's important to get out, let's say, the right information to you, you know. So we want to give you as much information as we can, but it's important for you to be informed properly because this is important. When it comes to traveling, another thing we need to talk about also is traveling, and especially if you're leaving your house unattended. We need to talk about when you're away traveling, how to you know what to do then, like notifying certain people to like get your newspaper or get your mail. That's if you're going to be gone longer than a weekend and stuff like that. We need to talk about precautions of that sort also. Regarding you know, travel safeties and making sure your home is protected, and you know, sometimes burglars like to realize that, hey, apparently these people are going out of town, you know. So we need to talk about stuff like that. Maybe we should get someone, law enforcement, too, online in the near future regarding topics of that sort. But there are like basic tips that we should know every day regarding that topic. But Cousin Linda didn't hit the comment. You press one. So I'm letting you all know you can call in and listen, and you can be a part of the show. All you have to do is press one, and next thing you know, you are on air. But you will definitely hear Cousin Linda's voice on tomorrow, God willing, because it will be a terrific Tuesday, and we will be talking travel. And please don't hesitate to chat with us in the chat room and also to call in and ask questions or share your best shopping tips also. On Wednesday, we're talking about body image, romance, and, you know, one's intimate sex life. So that's what we're talking about, body image. And body image is a big topic regarding both sexes and all in between. And you all know what I mean. You hear my rhyme. But that's what Wednesday is all about, body image. And so that's going to be good. Really, that's going to be good. Even Belinda has her personal story regarding body image, especially after having two kids and being in a loving marriage. So I won't spill the beans, but Wednesday is going to be a fun show, informative show. That's an important show. Body image is very important, you know, really. So that's what we're going to talk about on Wednesday, body image, romance, and one's intimate, you know, sex life. And really, how does body image affect one, you know, in those areas? Body image is enough. But then when it comes to romance and one's intimate life, that's a whole nother thing. You know, that's a whole nother topic because you're sharing your body with someone else. I mean, even when we're sharing it, just what I said, we're like, oh, we're noticing things about our body. We're like, oh, my God, you know, oh, my God, or I love this part, or I don't like this part, or I need to work on this part, or, you know. So that's what we're talking about, and that is not just a topic for women. It's for a topic for, the show is for 18 and above, but body image affects everybody. Everybody, kids and adults, but it's a Wednesday show is for 18 and over, so we're talking body image regarding adult men and women. And so it's going to be fun. Thursday, Mac Cole is going to be a fashion episode. Mac Cole will be on. We'll be talking about the Benefit Fashion Show, which is scheduled for Saturday, June the 16th at Holland Village. And they were practicing last night. They were like, we're going to be practicing in Holland Village. If you're in the area, come check us out. So this is going to be an amazing fashion show, which will be held on Saturday. And I'll give you all more details during tomorrow morning, at the beginning of tomorrow's show, regarding the fashion show at Highland Village. Like I said, that's a place where I've always wanted to open a boutique salon, even though I was a little girl. I love Highland Village. It's a historic shopping center. Still popular, have Main Street, like Talbots and other stores in it. Home of Bravo's restaurant, Charles restaurant. That's just a beautiful place. And so that's where this fashion show will be held on Saturday. And Friday, of course, is Sports Edition Friday. And Saturday, we'll be having an interview. This is the music show. Weekend edition, we will be interviewing True God, a rapper producer based in Maryland. And he has a remarkable history, and he's very positive. His messages are very positive, and he's worked with some amazing artists and producers and rappers also. So this week is just going to be just a week of diversity, definitely entertainment and lifestyle topics. So thank you so much for being a part of the show. And my Prince lovers, don't fret. And those of you that attended Chris Angel's online party, my fellow loyals, I missed the pool party because I was watching, I was promoting it, but I was watching the Belmont Stakes. So I missed the pool party that was televised on Chris's website, Magic Place. He has the official ChrisAngel.com site. He has Magic Place. So I missed the broadcast of the pool party from his estate in Las Vegas called Serenity because I was watching the Belmont Stakes. You know, you can do so much at once. But shout out to the loyals that are listening to the show. Loyals are people who love Chris Angel's work. And so they're called loyals. That's what he called his fans and supporters and members of his team and even his family members. Everybody are loyals. But again, thank you. And thank you, Cousin Linda, for listening in, and look forward to talking with you and listening to your tips and sharing the tips that I have on tomorrow regarding traveling. So thank you all. Really appreciate it. Have exceeded 65K views on the profile, and it's just amazing. So it's time to conclude. Don't want to get cut off during mid-sentence. So thank you. You all have a happy, motivating Monday. And what's up, what's up? It's just spreading the love. I want to shout out Jennifer Bagley, my dear friend in Dallas. Jennifer, I'm going to invite her on the show. She and Kathy Marshall of her company. Jennifer Bagley, visit her website, Jennifer Bagley, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, Bagley, B-A-G-L-E-Y. She's an amazing speaker. She is just amazing, period. And she's based in Dallas. She's one of my first Facebook friends. She has literally built her business, her company, into a multi-million-dollar business. And she's a native of Seattle, and she's in Dallas. And she told me last night, she said, I would love to come gig in Mississippi. I said, Mississippi would love to have you. And a lot of times you all hear me say, because a lot of times her presentations broadcast live on her website. And so I'm always watching her presentations in Dallas. And she's been anticipating me coming to Dallas. I was like, oh, it's taking me so long to come to Dallas, so you're just going to come to, you're going to come to Jackson. But Mississippi definitely could utilize her coming here. So whatever I can do, I'm definitely going to get her here. And so hopefully she will be a part of the show in the near future, sharing with you all her expertise. And I'll share it with you all. But visit her website at jenniferbagley.com. And she and her team had just moved in a new office in the Dallas area. But just amazing, amazing woman. But again, thank you for tuning in. And until next time, God bless.
Responsible. Yeah. private sector still needs more help in the end, but not more big government. I know in my state, our reforms allowed us to protect firefighters, police officers, and teachers. That's not what I think when I think of big government. I think of the bigger sense is more government regulations, more stimulus, more than just take money out of the private sector and put it in the hands of the government.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Morning Joe on the show with the show. Republican senator from Wyoming, Senator Sean Brodsoe. By the way, that last thing had nothing to do with it. So, we can go on for the double box.
It's so nice.
Yes, indeed. And then the cool way, and off she went. And then off she went again. So, anyway. So what do you think, Senator, what do you think about the Ryan budget and all this you talk about how we can prevent firefighters and pretty constantly that would hurt? I want to help you constantly. I want to get back to work, and this is perfect on Friday.
Running for the election, you have a campaign, and you use the president as your messenger, it is really not a good idea to do it in the White House briefing room. If you want to use the president, because the president running for re-election has to do both stuff, right? You're president, but you're also trying to win an election with all the same challenges, and in this case, more than he had 4 years ago. But you never send your candidate, who's also the president, into the White House briefing room to deliver a political message. And so I think that's why they've checked in it. And I think if you want to deliver a political message, have a rally in Northern Virginia. But you don't send your president, who is the leader of a country in very difficult times and a very strained economy, to the White House briefing room to deliver a political message.
Well, you just said he has to do both jobs, be the candidate and be the president.
Right.
Barack Obama is not being the president right now. There is no left presidential leadership that we see on Capitol Hill.
Right? I mean, there's a lack of leadership. We're not able to. There is a lot of, despite the impression of Washington, there actually is bipartisan agreement that some things have to get done. There are Republicans and Democrats who believe the tax reform should happen. Without presidential leadership, none of these things happen.
What is the argument that the president put forward a jobs bill and it, for the most part, just lay there?
Well, the president is focused not on the whole economy, but on the government-based economy. We need to get people back to work, and you see, he could put people back to work. There's little checklists and do this and do that and the next thing, but it had to do with basically spending more money, raising taxes to do it. And he could get jobs created immediately by approving the Keystone XL pipeline. Doesn't do it. The onerous regulations that are coming out of the EPA are making it harder to get people back to work. There's so much uncertainty about the cost of the health care law. Our taxes going to go up, the fiscal cliff that we're heading to. And yet Harry Reid, the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, started off the year by briefing 40 members of the House to say, don't worry, our plan for the year, he said, is a new electoral strategy. He said, forget passing bills. The Democrats just want to play the blame game in 2012.
So
they have bills that don't get voted on.
David, Harry Reid obviously is trying.
trying to kill certain bills. Mitch McConnell is...
Nothing's happening
between now and November.
Yeah, nothing. Mitch McConnell has said his number one goal was to stop the president. It happens. And I think that's really going to happen on both sides. I want to ask you, Bill, about a longer trend, and that is the trend of president, the campaigner, and chief. We're seeing it here. I mean, a lot of Democrats say several months ago, this president sort of threw in the towel and getting things done, and he's running a political campaign. He's not the first president to do that. The Bush, under Roe, the Bush administration was great. And I remember in 1999, when we were moving towards election. And seriously, I started reading Greek and Roman history. I knew that I would be sitting on the floor hearing a lot of maneuvering, that I could actually learn something the next couple of years while I was stuck on the floor. I think nothing infuriates people more than living worse. So it's worse now than it's ever been. It's going to be worse whoever the next is.
Not just between now and November. I think that the economy is constantly pushing huge problems down the road, the denial of these problems. Take the problem that we have that may be arguably the worst problem we have. Not as an individual war, God knows we have many of those, or in Syria and all over the world. But the fact that the globe is heating up, the fact that scientists nearly unanimously, if not unanimously, agree on this trend, the fact that this will lead to the loss of millions and millions of jobs and displace tens of millions of people on continents all over the world, the ramifications of warming are clear. And not 500 years from now, but for our children and our grandchildren. And we defer this and defer this and defer this at our own peril. I don't think the Senate or the House or the President or anyone of authority doing anything on this. This can is kicked down the road. And this is indicative of so many problems that we have. We have a crisis of power.
And speaking of cans being kicked down the road, the President, to give you this term, said he wasn't going to kick the debt can down the road. He wasn't going to kick Social Security down the road, Medicare down the road. If the President of the United States called you up today and said, Senator, I decided I'm going to listen to my debt commission, and I'm going to go ahead and put that back on the floor, and I'm going to be a champion of it, I'm going to support it, I'm not going to leave anybody hanging out in the wind. If the President asked you for his support, a vote up or down for that Susan Ball's debt commission, would you support it?
I want to have a debate on it. I want to say, look, raising taxes on anybody right now isn't a great idea. Bill Clinton has just said that.
Right.
Summers has said it.
But why do Democrats and Republicans alike and say we won't raise taxes for a couple of years until the GDP goes up to 3 or 4? I mean, would you be willing to work with the president to pass Simpson Bowles under some circumstances?
You know, Al Simpson is from Wyoming. He was in the Senate before me. And I visit with him quite frequently. I'll be with the rodeo with him in Columbia on the 4th of July. And then I will work with the president. I don't know how I vote on that. Depending on the debate, the discussion, and the amendments. I'm not going to vote to raise taxes on anybody right now, but I would welcome presidential leadership on all of the things you just talked about.
If Republicans and Democrats came together, and let's say, for instance, I'll come on, listen, I never voted for a tax increase in my life. Never did. And I'm very proud of it. But I'll be the first to say, if Democrats would come to the table with a plan to save Medicare over the next generation, a plan to save Social Security over the next generation, a plan to cut defense spending over the next generation, a plan to get us out of decade-long occupations over the next generation, and they need to reform the tax code to make it flatter and fairer, but it would increase more revenue.
Overall revenue.
Bring more money into the federal government.
Get more people working.
I support that. Sure. A second, would you?
Absolutely. You get more revenue by having more people working, and tax reform. I mean, that's the way you raise revenue. You don't go after you and you and you. You actually raise overall revenue by having more people working, more people paying taxes, and a more productive economy, which we don't have right now at 8.2% unemployment and kids living back in their parents' basements because they can't find work gradually.
If we take care of long-term debt, if we take care of long-term debt to Social Security, take care of long-term debt to Medicare, take care of long-term debt by reducing the scope of U.S. military spending globally, Is it okay to spend more money on infrastructure?
You have the money to spend.
Is it okay to spend more money on R&D?
You have all those opportunities.
Is it okay to spend more money on education?
The revenue is coming in.
So you're in the caucus. You're in the Scarborough Republican caucus and says, if China's investing in it, we need to invest in it because we need to beat their butts. You're in that caucus, right?
And we need to quit borrowing money from China.
Exactly.
We don't want to be indebted to them. We borrow $2 million.
We take care of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're headbound and all sides closed. We're doing this one at a time. So we can do two things at once. We can take care of the long-term debt while investing short-term in our economy, right? By rebuilding our infrastructure, by rebuilding our schools, by investing in R&D, by doing the sort of things we need to do to beat the Chinese, to beat the Indians, to beat the Saudis. We can do that as a nation, right?
Yeah, by raising overall revenue, by getting more people back to work, by getting rid of a lot of the regulations that are coming out of Washington.
Making the long-term debt.
Well, that's what we need to focus on. You talked about the Beatles earlier, 50 years ago today, the Beatles started.
Yeah.
50 years ago this year, John Kennedy in the State of the Union said that persistently large deficits, he said, endanger our economic future. At the time, the deficit that year was $7 billion.
Yeah.
The deficit this year was almost 200 times that number. When we're talking 50 years, the lifetime of the Beatles.
Yeah. All right, coming up, bad habits might be hard to break, but we have an author here who said it's a lot easier to understand the science behind our bad habits. We'll talk about that when we come back on Morning Jeff.
Morning.
One moment, you did see it deposit.
father with Sydney going out to Notre Dame. What was that like?
I did. We went there this weekend. The boys were already there. They've done their summer school and their practice. That's what a lot of the athletes do. Sydney is in the incoming freshman swimming at Notre Dame this year, so she went early there for summer school as well. So all three kids were there. You know, it was certainly sad because all my kids were there, but very happy for my wife, Chris, and I. And we left all three kids there together. You know, and how they all get along so well, and the older ones and brothers will take care of their sister, which would be a cool thing. But they all genuinely love one another. And that's a cool thing to see. And they're all at one spot. They all get to go through this experience together for at least a semester. So it is at least for all three of them. Who is supposed to most of you? Probably me. Probably me. You know, it's my daughter. You know, there is a difference. You have all your kids the same, but there's father, son, and father, daughter. You know, and so it was tough. It was tough. But she was ready. You know, it's so weird on the left side.
It's so good. My
dad's
good.
Yeah, you know, when you think back, I thought back on what I was, how excited I was. My brother Bob was on the Notre Dame. My brother Greg was there. So I was just supposed to be a teammate and a classmate of his. How excited I was to go there. When you're 18 years old, you don't think of the other side of it and say, I'm leaving my parents behind.
Right.
So, you know, I expect for her to want to run there and be with her brothers and be in the place she wanted to be. Someday it may hit her, at least I hope that, you know, she left her mother and father behind and put her for doing this.
If not, she's going to break every swing record down to her name and take the crash of her.
Please often join her company. Very good.
Both family, honorary and bashing. Coming up next, do you think it's a block?
Let me come another airline, raising United States and I to $100 from 70 each way on flights to Europe and many others.
With Bob Cashcott from Capital One, SpendZone Security gets the most rewards of any small business credit card.
How does this thing work? I like it.
Spend small business has 2% cashback on every purchase every day.
Oh, that depends. Security gear is right.
Put them on a smart card. 1 cent or less.
Selling hot
cars. Great businesses that have the most rewards.
Small business cards from Capital One. Choose unlimited rewards with 2% cashback or double miles on every purchase every day.
What's your wallet? Here's your invoice.
He's not just any dad, and this isn't just any sale. This Tuesday, everything at Joseph A. Bank is half off and more. All suits are 70% off, and all sport coats are 70% off. Like our executive blazer, now just $135. No wonder they call it Super Tuesday. Half off and more, this Tuesday only, just in time for Father's Day, at Joseph A. Bank.
I always knew my voice would take me places. I never believed I'd be in control of my life. But here I am, still in control, loving how I eat, loving this woman, not stressing at all about my weight. Weight Watchers made me believe I could do it. Join for $1, and you will too. Weight Watchers, believe, because it works.
When you treat people right, word gets around. Total car care, total customer care. Mike.
Hey, welcome back to the Morning Joe.
Sorry, right here. I know parking lot.
That's an exaggeration.
Wait, I think you didn't get that. Wives with larger brains. Maybe bankrupt people are inside. Oh,
that's never happened.
You mean in the English press there was a false recordation? Exactly, were you when you promised BMWs and larger breasts to your constituents?
Well, that's the whole point. I can't remember. I don't exclude that it may come true. I just didn't promise
it. It could have happened. It could come true.
It could come true. I don't want to discourage anybody who voted on me on that basis.
Yes, because you never know. You may need to run for the election.
You may need to.
A third time, and they still may be looking at their wife, wondering when your promises are going to come to fruition. You've got a book, too. It's called Life of London. It's the people who made the city that made the world. You were actually born in New York.
I was born in New York. I wanted to be close to my mother at the time, as you know.
Why?
She was a student in New York. I was with my father's class.
Thank God you're not here now. You can't smoke, you can't drink, you can't drink sugary.
I was thinking about that. I'm thinking it's crazy. Tell people you're trying to restrict cup sizes.
Right.
But whatever. Not get back to mentioned earlier on.
Yeah.
You're against the restriction of the cup size. But we've got a problem. The Americans got a problem. We've got a problem. We are not as fat as you yet. But I'm certainly fatter than them. But there's a crisis of obesity. And we've got to look practically at what the
Marxist or socialist? Red can. You've eaten twice now.
I think champagne socialist is the technical term.
I thought we had a champagne socialist in France. We call him a champagne socialist.
Well, anyway.
You what?
A chateau de Dupac.
Hey, by the way, you were very concerned that people were going to go to work with Neil Ferguson still in their head.
I just want to try to elucidate what I think is the key issue. Is that everybody thinks that the only solution is to keep pushing money in these Greece and Spain, create this fiscal union, try to get tight in Europe in the United States of America, as Neil was saying, where they failed, exactly. The problem with that is that you can't analogize between the creation of a federal union of the United States with the creation of a European fiscal union. You've got very different countries, different languages, different political traditions. You're asking the Germans to keep paying forever for the periphery, and you're asking the periphery to accept unending humiliation of loss of political control, loss of democratic accountability for their finance.
Like Margaret Thatcher, you've been a skeptic for a long time. I have been a skeptic. Do we have a solution? I want to know if we have the Thatcher statues going up all over London right now because of what she did in 88, 89, and 90 when she was being kicked out. I mean, Margaret Thatcher was a prostitute, was she not?
I think she was right about this issue. I don't have a statue of her in the article. I want more.
Do you want Christ
Elephantine? One of those Londoners who changed the world.
What's the solution?
The solution is, there's a grim German proverb which says,
are there any other
times? There's a grim German proverb that says, better an end in horror than a horror without end. And actually, I think where Neil and the other analysts are going wrong, I don't think that President Obama's political fortune, anybody's political fortune, are going to recover until everybody knows that this kind of balloon is basically burst one way or the other. And I think actually, if they had some leadership, you could contrive an orderly solution to the Eurozone problem. You could organize a bisection into the Euro, a North Euro, a South Euro. You could do something like that. But what you can't do is try to shoehorn all these countries into a political union which they're not ready for.
Well,
I heard someone say that you can't share a currency with countries that nap in the middle of the day and countries that don't nap.
You don't want to be and rude and scary.
It's culturally incompatible.
It's cruel and unfair to ask the Greek economy to compete toe-to-toe in a single currency zone with very, very productive German economy. And that's the problem. They didn't look at the problem with the Italian car industry.
And I think here, though, I'm sorry, we never think about the other side of it, which when you said the humiliation of receiving funds and losing political, we never really think about that side of it. We think about the countries that are paying, and that's what we hear and see and talk about more. But there probably is a psychological turmoil and angst to being bailed out.
Of course, well, they can actually get fast by just working more.
Sure, but
if I'm Germany, they could. Why do I keep wanting to bail out the Greeks, who still, they won't make tough choices when it comes to taxation, they won't make tough choices when it comes to working. The French, they've actually lowered their retirement age to 60. Back in 2012.
I agree. I mean, in an ideal world, they would all miraculously become Teutonic in their habits and in their savings and in their work ethic and everything else. That would be a wonderful thing. Unfortunately, that isn't going to happen anytime soon. And in the meantime, there's that political reaction to being told by Berlin what you've got to do with your spending. And people are going to lose their jobs because they get a Merkel. So in the end, that's going to be toxic.
There's a nasty history behind that. You know, listen, if you're sitting at home in middle America right now, you get your NASCAR jersey on, and you happen to stumble to London, this book, I will tell you, this book will save you. This was during the Olympics, and it is Johnson's Life of One of the People Who Made the City That Made the World. And yes, you're a music fan. Beatles, The Stones.
I am, and the one of
Shakespeare. Mom. They're all bad.
Some of the programmatic geniuses of our people who exported great. I'm really arguing by making that rock and roll was basically re-exported by London in the 60s to America.
Now, about 64, baby. That's right. It changed everything. I'm very excited about you deciding to run the marathon.
Stretches
Clara's the mic. Our Clara is the cloud of the clouds. Look up. Welcome to the upper. And say it's your style of whatever suits you.
Maybe.
Imagine our potential if the other states join us. Let's raise our scores. Let's invest in our teachers and inspire our students. Let's solve this.
I bring a little something extra to work with me every day. Perspective. I know it is likely to be the one everyone counts on for health advice they can trust, for answers when they're not feeling well. For help whenever it's needed. And I'm comfortable with that responsibility because I do a lot of practice at home. The pharmacy staff at Service Drugs will take care of you personally. We also offer delivery service to the Madison and Ridgeland area. Try independently on Service Drugs at the corner of Highway 51 and McCollum Drive in Ridgeland.
Sometimes you want to do nothing. But when you want to do everything, Sandler includes it all.
Dr. McCall has sponsored a workflow. It's chaos. solution? He is Sarah, Intelligent Printers, MFP, Apps, and Services. He is Sarah. It's really not that complicated.
Around the world, tell me what to do, protecting our interests, our oil. Who's paying for that? You can't get rid of all the taxes and do that. You want Social Security? You want these big programs for the middle class, your voters? You got to pay for it or not? And I think that's the challenge, common sense.
There's been tremendous turmoil in our financial markets in Wall Street, and it is people are frightened by these events. Our economy, I think, still, the fundamentals are of our economy are strong.
The truth of the matter is that, as I said, we've created 4.3 million jobs over the last 27 months. Over 800,000 just this year alone. The private sector is doing fine.
Good morning, it's 10 a.m. on the East Coast, 5 a.m. on the West Coast, and you take a live look at New York City, back with us on set. Mark Halpern, Nicole Wallace, and Steve Radner. Nicole, you were the one in charge of trying to tamp down all the screams when John McCain went out there as the economy was collapsing, saying the fundamentals of the economy is strong. When I first heard the clip this weekend, of the president, I just gasped. And it took me straight back to September 15th, 2008. What makes politicians say such things?
Well, the truth is they are out of touch because of the nature of the jobs that they have. And I think that this moment reminded me more of John Kerry's gaffe, where he actually said, I voted for it before I voted against it in 2004 that was talking about funding for the troops. I think this is one of those things where it doesn't matter what the Romney campaign does with it. Some people will see that as a moment. It doesn't matter what Obama does to clean it up. He went out and pressed the veil with a board leader and tried to clean it up a few hours later. It's one of those moments that has no ability to be shaped or spun or distilled or explained away by the other. It simply leaves an impression that cements into the minds of certainly everyone on the right and far too many in the middle for the Obama campaign.
And too many people looking for work.
Correct. That it seals in this narrative that he has no clue when it comes to creating jobs in the private sector.
And Mark Halpern, when you actually look at that clip, you know immediately that after trying to clean up after him, that's a devastating clip. Again, because the way he delivered it, he wasn't moving off the notes. He believed it. He believed the private sector is doing fine.
I'm of a minority view on this. I think all of this is silly. I thought when John McCain said the fundamentals of the economy are strong, it's silly. You know, the age in which we live.
It's silly in a way that changed the drug
because the press and political opponents jump all over. John McCain was making a point that's perfectly valid, and so was the president. And I just think this is what our politics has become. It's hard for me to swim upstream against it because everything Nicole said is right in terms of what is, but it isn't what it ought to be.
Well, look at the polls pre-September the 15th. Before John McCain said what he said, John McCain and Sarah Palin were on a march. They were ahead of Barack Obama. They were doing very well. That was the best.
Demonized the private sector, that he almost can't dig himself out of that.
I can understand. Hold on a second. You can understand it's the private sector, but you need to talk to people who run the private sector, and I guarantee you, 99 out of 100 you talk to that run the private sector don't think he understands the private sector and how to run it and what makes it effective. And what makes it
telling the call center hope that he's massively understood that the struggles that people are having in the current economy.
And the connection with the private sector.
So let's talk about the difference between the private sector and the public sector. There's been a long belief by business people that this president is obsessive over public sector jobs. But he doesn't really
public sector jobs,
but he doesn't really understand how the private sector works.
Well, I think you've
heard that, right?
I'm sorry, I've heard that. Of course, I've heard that, and many businessmen say that. But I think the question whether he understands how the private sector works or not is a perfectly legitimate question. I don't think it's exactly the question we're talking about this morning. We're talking about this morning about political statements that might seem inopportune. And I would only contrast when John McCain said that, it was immediately followed by one of the greatest collapses in financial history and one of the greatest drops in job decline in history. I think when the president said it, look, I don't know if it was a slip of the tongue. I don't know if he genuinely believes the private sector is fine. Remember, the administration is emphasizing that there have been over 4.4 million private sector jobs created since the bottom of the jobs recession. And we'll see our charts a little bit later. Corporate sector profits are doing just fine. So I don't know which of those pieces he kind of got mixed up in his own mind. And I'm not here to debate whether he understands the private sector, but I do think he certainly understands that there's still almost 5 million Americans who had work when this recession began who don't have work now.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think the private sector is doing fine?
It depends what you mean by doing fine. The private sector profits are doing better than fine. They're at record levels. They went through a recession, but they just soared back.
Because of those rich people, the president doesn't lie.
Well, the second is the private sector. It's not, I'm parsing it for you. Jobs.
So let's look at the private sector that the president's talking about, because if you told him that the corporations were making lots of money, that would not be doing fine by this president's definition.
So if you look at it in terms of jobs, since the beginning of the recession, there have been close to 5 million jobs lost in the private sector. So I think you have a hard time saying the private sector is doing fine. And by the way, people always talk about jobs, and as I like to remind them, there's also incomes. People's incomes are also down in the private sector over this period of time. So even the ones, the 90% of Americans who have jobs have lower incomes on average.
Okay.
Economic pain that many American families feel. He sees the private sector in a box. He says, oh, those people are doing fine over there. And he doesn't worry about them. What I think the debate will be in this election is that the health, the prosperity, the ability to flourish in the private sector is directly linked to our ability to add jobs, to the income of middle-class families, to the way people feel about this economy. We have a president who is not only rooting against the private sector, but doesn't seem to understand the connection.
No, I would not myself go that far. I have a more benign explanation. I think, as I said, maybe he looked at some jobs numbers that show it's getting better. I think he misspoke. I think he corrected himself, unlike Gerald Ford in that debate, which I also remember, Joe. And I agree with Mark. I think this is going to be a moment, and we move on. I don't think this is going to be one of those defining moments of this campaign. I think this is going to be one of those bad choice of words that he will get, and he will, and I think to the great extent, once we get done with this program, get himself passed.
One of the things about this that's sticking was the president said that his team decides, all right, we have to fight back. We have to find a way to change the story. So the president comes out, but in addition, Governor Romney later in the day said something about how we don't need more teachers and firefighters and police, and rather than sort of calling a truce and saying, oh, well, you know, people say things they shouldn't say, the president did this morning, now Governor Romney, they jumped on that and tried to make a huge deal of that. But, you know, these are two serious guys running for president, and the dynamics of Friday and into the weekend and into this morning is there's a campaign about Twitter and web videos.
Yeah, but there's one difference, Mark. Governor Romney has endorsed the budget that would, in fact, have fewer teachers and firefighters and policemen. So that is his policy. That is what he is saying he's going to do.
Right, and that's a position that many people in the country think is the right thing to do at this time when we have huge deficits. But they don't believe that that's the right way for the economy to work, and that's the point he was making. But to then go further and to accuse him of not liking firefighters and police.
He's not cutting any firefighters and teachers, and Republicans know that we have to debate after the stimulus, and I think that the 2010 midterm election showed that a lot of people in this country have a lot of concern when the only part of the economy that Democrats want to help is the public sector job growth. So I think Governor Romney is on very solid ground saying that it can't be out of whack. We can't continue to add
All I'm saying is that the Ryan budget, which he's endorsed, as you know, would provide for very substantial reductions in aid to states and localities, which would translate themselves into reductions.
But what Mark's saying is that wasn't the fight that Romney was trying to pick with Obama. Romney was simply saying that these aren't the only kind of jobs we should be adding to our economy.
Let me ask you a question.
You ever say that it's still the most read newspaper in America?
It's most widely circulated.
Probably good reason for it, because we talk about Spain,
there's
a chart here, a pie chart that says 4 out of 5 Americans don't want to talk about Spain. they're not talking about all of this stuff. Talking about, this is why they're in the USA Today, and I love them for it. Look at that, boys. The Beatles turned 50. It's 1962. Of course, we're all Beatle maniacs. 1962, the Beatles went in and started recording in 62. And 50 years ago, last Friday.
You know they're not an American band, right?
I didn't know that. They recorded their first song. Love Me Do. Look at you.
Wow.
June 6th, 1962. We're 50 years into it. So you were old enough to go into them. I was not.
I saw them on Ed Sullivan. I didn't go to Shea Stadium, but I certainly remember them being at Shea Stadium and all the commotion that wrapped us around in the media.
You couldn't afford the $3 tickets. Were you old enough to remember that one now?
One of our points, the show being what is also the 40th anniversary of the Watergate break in, and you saw Woodward and Bernstein yesterday.
Today is.
I think it was still on the weekend.
In the week.
Woodward and Bernstein, I think, finished yesterday giving a joint interview for the first time. Wow. Talking about what it was like.
Wow.
We can't have a Beatles reunion, but we can't have a Woodward and Bernstein reunion.
Yeah, exactly. We need to talk about that. So let's go ahead and talk about saying really quickly, and you know, Steve, you were worried about what was going to be happening over the next couple of weeks. Do they avoid the meltdown that is devastating to this country.
This is like the little boy who put his finger in the dike. It's probably not a perfect analogy, but you had a bunch of fingers put in a bunch of dikes, and each one so far has managed to keep this, sort of think of the Hoover Dam, has managed to keep this dam from breaking, cascading. And this was the least they had to do at the latest possible moment. Spain had been resisting any kind of a bailout. They didn't want to be lumped in with such despicable places as Portugal and Greece and things like that. They are Spain. But in the end, they took one. They're trying to convince the world it's only the banks. The rest of Spain's doing just fine, thank you. And they will, in all likelihood, save their banks and solve their problem. But this ongoing cascade, you know, like the game Whack-A-Mole, where you whack one down and three more pop up somewhere else, is just going to continue because they're not dealing with any of their fundamental problems. And so the market's going to be up today. We're going to have a respite from this. And then something else will happen.
And Mark, last night, of course, you were on your bonbons in your robe. And watching the counties.
I was.
We saw the big winner to the counties for last night.
One in particular, I've seen music, but I've seen one that's excellent.
What?
They won lots. They won $8 million. Based on the movie.
Did you know that then?
I tried to. I saw Death of a Salesman, which was one of the best plays. The other things, but maybe not as often as much. They played Mike Nichols off. I thought that was a little weird.
Yeah.
He was like in the middle of his teaching, you know, they cut him off and started playing him. And like, I don't give you that to Mike Nichols.
I don't give you that to Mike Nichols. Hyde Park.
Your brother, and now Tony.
That's right.
Yes.
And our friend is going to be becoming Jordan Ross. So maybe you could maybe get some tickets for that.
Can you stay up that way?
I can now. I've turned over a new leaf.
I know.
What does that mean? Well, what that means is that you keep waking up at
earlier.
4 a.m. And at some point, after about 5 years of it, you realize that you haven't done anything after 7 o'clock at night. And then it's time to start having a life. So.
It's kind of like having a new one.
Yeah, except you have to wake up at 3:30 every morning.
Pride. Pride builds great cars.
my voice will take me places. I never believed I'd be in control of my weight.
Yes,
here I am. Still in control, loving high, loving just walking, not stressing at all about my body.
Results only comes from how much things and lifestyle diet. As of today, I'm saying enough.